You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am here for our sort of weekly chat with Thomas Harding, who covers the Rockies for MLB.com. And Thomas, it's been really fun this entire offseason speculating on what the Rockies can do, and I think that we have stretched that out better than possibly anybody could to turn this into like 12 or 13 minutes of what they could do every week. But now they finally did something. So this is really a very exciting day for both of us because we can talk a little bit about Kyle Kendrick. So they needed some pitching help, and they also needed a ground ball pitcher to fill that role. And it seems like Kyle Kendrick sort of brings a lot to the table. And it wasn't, this is a late signing, but this definitely wasn't a cheap signing. So can you tell us a little bit about what the logistics are around his contract and what they're expecting from him?
Well, they're expecting him to be durable and keep the ball low in the zone and get some ground balls. When you are putting together a pitching staff for the Colorado Rockies, you're not necessarily going to get the guy that you just bring in and say he's going to give us 200 innings and X number of strikeouts and X number of wins, because it's just very hard to predict performance here. So the Rockies, they were patient throughout the offseason. They looked at a number of trades, but they also had Kyle Kendrick on their radar throughout the whole thing. And it all came together this week. He got a one-year $5.5 million deal. And also there's another, $500,000 available to him if he pitches 190 innings. So basically you're not asking to bring in a super ace, a Roger Clemens type of guy to dominate here, because that doesn't happen. What you're doing is bringing in a guy who can deal with pitching in a hitter's park. He's done it in Philadelphia, can get ground balls, which he did in Philadelphia. If the ball flies out of the stadium, can he keep the team in the game? They need that type of pitcher for the staff, and Kyle Kendrick does fit the bill for the Rockies.
And he uses mostly his sinker. He gets about almost half of the balls hit or ground balls. 30 years old. He pitched 199 innings last year. So this is, I don't want to say like it's, $5.5 million is not chump change, but really everything else, he kind of really fits in. Are you a little surprised maybe that it went this late into the offseason before they signed him?
No, I didn't, especially when Jeff Breidich took over as the general manager, and he basically said that he is going to improve this club, but he's not out to make a bunch of headlines early in the off season, and he certainly didn't do that, as we've discussed many times. You know, we spent a lot of time speculating on what would happen and when it would happen. He's able to bring in Kendrick to help the rotation. It is a fairly young rotation with guys like Jordan Lyles and Tyler Matzek, but also you do have a couple of stabilizers in Jorge De La Rosa, and if he's healthy, which all signs point to, a Jolys Chacin. So he fits in. He fits into this. They didn't it's not that they didn't want to bring in someone who could anchor the rotation and move immediately to the front of the rotation, but that contract and that person really wasn't out there for them. So I think when you look at it, it's a very solid signing for them. They will continue to look around and see if they can't get some guys a minor league contract, and they certainly haven't ruled out trying to trade for another starter, because they need all the starters they can get. But this sets them in pretty good shape going into the season. You can see a conceivable big league rotation.
And that's not the only pitching move they made. So there's some that maybe haven't gotten a lot of attention. Well, first of all, John Axford signing a minor league deal. This is another one that's just not one of those, come to camp and we'll entertain you kind of thing. I mean, if he makes the club, he's going to make a pretty nice salary. And we're talking about the bullpen now, but he's got a pretty good track record. So that could be a big addition to them if that works out.
That's right. He's a guy who has been a closer. And Walt Weiss and Jeff Breidich have talked about adding power-type arms to the back of the rotation. The back of the bullpen. LaTroy Hawkins is still the closer, but if for some reason he slides into a setup role, they'll have to have a power arm back there to take it. They do have Adam Ottavino, who's a fairly young pitcher, and he throws the ball hard. Could he slide eventually into a closer's role? Could Rex Brothers come back from a bad year last year and end up the closer? Or could a John Axford come in here and really pitch lights out and close some games for the Rockies? What you want, yeah, you need a closer, but you also, and seeing the games of Coors Field, how they turn in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning, you really need power arms throughout the back end of the bullpen. So John Axford fits that very well. He's a veteran type. He's been through some good times and rough times, and you certainly have those when you pitch for the Rockies at Coors Field. So if you look at it, yeah, it's a minor league contract, but it's a contract for a guy who they have some plans for. And also, if Rafael Betancourt, who is a very good closer for this team, if he is truly back from his elbow surgery of a couple of years ago, he's there on a minor league contract also. So they do have some guys who've had some experience late in ball games, and that could make a difference.
And they made a trade with the Braves. I don't think a lot of people talked about, but they added some right-handed depth. I mean, when you're talking about two guys, actually, one's 27, one's 26, so we're not talking young, but still relatively young. It's funny to say that 27 isn't that young, but in baseball terms, it's just right in the middle of the road. It's on David Hale and Gus Schlosser. I'm sure I'm probably not saying that right. But so they'll sort of be, I guess, in the starting mix when spring training comes. I mean, I know that that's usually kind of how front offices frame it. They just say, well, you know, this guy's going to be in the mix for a starting job, but then a lot of these guys end up sort of fitting into the bullpen somewhere. So where do you see these guys sort of fitting in this year?
I am really intrigued by the acquisition of David Hale, a guy who had a 3.30 ERA pitching a full season with the Braves last year, his first full season in the major leagues. Yes, he's 27, but the Rockies are looking at him at his ground ball potential, at his ability to throw the ball hard, thinking that this may be the time for him to take off and become a major league type pitcher. I mean, a lot of guys, that happens around the 27, 28, 29-year-old range. And if he is able to come in here and impress them, then he may be able to work his way into the rotation. I mean, what they don't want to, when they came to camp, what they didn't want to do is just hand guys jobs. And having a David Hale here who could work his way into the opening day rotation and maybe upset the apple cart a little bit, they don't mind that as long as he goes out there and gives the team a chance to win. So Hale has added some depth. Schlosser, he's a sidearm type guy, sinks the ball, does get ground balls, struggled a bit in his big league debut last year. I think it was like 14 games with the Braves, but you look at what he's been able to do in the minor leagues, and if he does learn from what happened last year, he could be a very good piece. We don't know if he's a starter or a reliever. I think he profiles a little bit better as a relief pitcher, but we'll see what happens. I think that the Rockies, what they're trying to do is get as many live arms as possible into camp and let them all battle it out and not have too many preconceived notions when it comes to what roles these guys pitch in. And let's face it, if you look at the Rockies over the years, guys struggle, guys do get hurt, so it's better to have more pitchers than you need.
Yeah, I mean, any veteran baseball person would say, get all the pitching you can, and when you think you have enough pitching, go get more pitching. And I guess that's even more true with the Rockies.
Right, yeah, especially with the Rockies. And don't forget, they do have a number of prospect types that we've talked about before, whether it's John Gray or Eddie Butler or even Chad Bettis, that they tried in the bullpen but now are moving back to a starting rotation type thing. And Tyler Matzek and Jordan Lyles did very well for this team last year. So there's a lot of youth that could carry this team for a number of years there. So right now you're looking at depth. You're looking at a number of arms now. Can you predict what they'll do? That seems to be very hard here. But if a few of them turn out to be good, then they're set for a few years. If a few of them turn out to be good now, then you're talking about a team that a lot of people expect to finish in the bottom of the division, suddenly finding themselves contending because the young arms have produce maybe a year or two ahead of what you think the schedule would be.
Now, while we can't have too much pitching, there are times when teams can have too much catching, and that seems to be sort of a situation with the Rockies. And I know Jeff Bright talked recently just about how Will and Rosario, who they're trying to have him transition to maybe first base, possibly the outfield, just because there's with the addition of Nick Hundley, there might be not really enough playing time from behind the plate. So I know that he recently, I guess, spent some time at the team spring training complex, trying that out a little bit. Has there been any updates on that, or is that going well?
Well, we'll have to see in spring training. Yes, they sent him to the complex in Scottsdale a little back in January, and also I believe it was last week he went to the Dominican Republic and also worked out at their complex there. Basically, they're not making him a first baseman full-time because they have Justin Morneau there, but if you look at how things are set up with the first base and catching situations, you'll have to rest Morneau a certain amount of time. You know, he's getting up there in age, still a very good hitter, and you can always rest him against the tough left-handed hitters. And if you look at Nick Hundley and also Michael McHenry, they're both right-handed hitters, but they tend to hit right-handed pitching better than left-handed pitching. Well, Willian Rosario, his numbers are really potent against left-handed pitchers. So you can see him getting starts behind the plate, getting some starts at first base, maybe in those long games that we tend to have at Coors Field, maybe finishing a game in the outfield or having to go out there after pinch hitting. That's all I expect in the outfield. But what they're trying to do is find ways to get his bat into the lineup because his bat makes a difference against lefties. And certainly in the NL West, you have a number of very good ones, guys that are perennial all-star types and Cy Young competitors that are left-handed.
Well, something to keep our eye on, and we will do that. And, Thomas, thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to have something to talk about.
Absolutely.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.